Okay, let's continue, and we will go to question number 7. Question number 7 asks, why did the shogun have more power than the emperor? Okay, let me listen to your answers. I want to see what you have to say. Okay?
Okay. Emperors have reigned over Japan for more than 1500 years in Japan. But the effective power of the emperors was limited throughout most of the history in Japan.
Okay.
From the medieval period, the members of the military gradually became more powerful than the court officers.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they took over the leadership. Mm-hmm. So the emperor gave him the title of shogun, and then the shogun conducted politics as the emperor's representative. But still, the emperor has long been highly respected since ancient times, even today.
Okay. All right, maybe. All right, let's have him do it. I think probably want you to do it again after. Okay? Can you answer for me, please? Why did the shogun have more power than the emperor?
Oh, in ancient times, the emperor and then aristocrat had a real power to govern Japan, but they came to make right of military power or military strength and weapons and to hate killing people. So it was a natural result that the warriors, samurai, come to govern or rule Japan with weapons. But the authority of the emperor was maintained because the samurai or shogun wished to make use of the authority. And also, the emperor made use of the shogun by designating them as a governor for the emperors.
Okay. Press it back. Let me just try it again. What, you know, it's kind of a very simple question, but why did the shogun have more power than the emperor? Because the shogun had an army and the emperor didn't have an army. Right? So there's something that's very simple, but, you know, the emperor had the status and his symbol as head of state was maintained. And so, the emperors took advantage of the samurai by having the samurai be the army. And the samurai took advantage of the emperor by making him the symbol of the state and like the central figure, but without power. So there's something about this question, I think. It needs to be a little bit more clear. Basically, the shogun had an army, right?
So the army, or I hesitated to say army.
Well, I just, yeah. Well, yeah, don't think so specifically. I think just an army works as a military force. So just like I just speak in very common, easy words. But the shoguns had the shogun had an army, okay. And so the emperor did not have an army, but the emperor was lucky. Really, he was lucky because they kept him as a symbol of state, because the shogun had all the power. If they wanted to stop the emperor system, they could have just killed the emperor and say, I'm emperor. Yeah. Right? But
in,
they did
the
it.
The other countries in the world, yeah, all
oh, yeah.
kings and the emperor were killed.
Right. That's why there's no long line of kings and queens, because they killed off one and another family would come and do it until they killed. And so Japan has the longest line of emperors in the world, because the emperors were kept as a symbol of state and allowed to give authority to the shogun, and he let the emperor just stay.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we try this one again? Let's make this a little more clear. Both of you, I'll have you to try. Why did the shogun have more power than the emperor?
That is because the shogun had their military power.
Okay.
And the emperor did not have one.
Okay.
And the emperor has long been highly respected as a symbol of the state, and they are central figures.
Mm-hmm.
And the shogun became more powerful than their court officials.
Mm-hmm.
So the emperor gave him the title of shogun.
The emperor gave the shogun.
Shogun.
Or emperor
gave the title,
mm-hmm.
the official title, and the shogun conducted politics.
Okay.
Even today, it is secured as such under the current law as a symbol of the state.
Right. So the emperor really doesn't have any political power; just kind of a symbol of state. Okay. Good. Let me ask you the same question again. Why did the shogun have more power than the emperor?
Because the shogun and the shogunate had a real power of military force.
Mm.
And backed by the military force, they could govern Japan for the emperor. In ancient times, the emperor had a real power with weapons and military force. But eventually, they discarded the weapons and military forces. And then the shogun, the emperor's designated samurai, a top samurai as a shogun. And the shogun could control Japan with military force.
Right.
But,
Yeah, that's fine. Good. All right? Yeah, you could keep it. Let's just go on to question 8 then. Mm-hmm. Good, this is fine. Why did Japan cut off its relations with the outside world for over 200 years? Why did Japan close the country?
The direct trigger of the isolation policy was a riot or rebellion which occurred 1637. The riot the farmers and Christians brought up the riot.
Made the riot, that's right.
Made the riot. And of course, the shogunate wanted to suppress the riot, sending the big number of samurai warriors. But it took time, a few months, for that farmers, against the farmers.
Mm.
Astonishing at the strong resistance by these farmers and Christians, they decided to check or stop the Christianity. That's why they took the isolation policy.
Hmm. I think your explanation before why is good, but it's a little long. And so they stopped Christianity, but you didn't tell what is so bad about Christianity.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So let's try that again. I think you can say just there was a rebellion by farmers and Christians. So the government needed to stop that, and they stopped it because Christianity did. So let's try that again.
Okay.
I think, yeah, go more into why they closed the country and what it, the reason for closing, yes, to stop the rebellion, but try that, just try it again, see if you could give a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay.
The direct trigger was the riot by the farmers and the Christians. Mm-hmm. And they resisted very fiercely against the shogunate. Mm-hmm. The Christianity is centered around love and equality and so on. While the shogunate took a policy of a caste system. So these two were incompatible. Mm-hmm. That's why the shogunate decided to isolate Japan completely from the outside world to check or to avoid the Christian priest come from other countries.
Right, okay. So they stopped Christianity. And also, they closed the country to prevent trade.
Yeah, trade.
Right,
yeah.
So that also should be part of your answer. So they also, by closing the country, the daimyo were not allowed to trade with other countries and become rich. So the shogun, the Tokugawa shogun, had closed the country.
Yeah.
So stopping Christianity and stopping trade.
Yes. They wished to monopolize the profit from trade.
Right, and not allow other daimyo or the lords to become rich.
Yes.
Which could also then lead to rebellion. And
yes.
Okay? So those are the points that you probably need to add. Okay?
Okay.
All right, good. Let's try. Same question. Why did Japan cut off its relations with the outside world for over 200 years?
Okay. One of the reasons was that the national isolation policy was adopted by Edo government for protection from European countries. In the early Edo period, the numbers of Christians got increased rapidly, and they became powerful and threatened their feudal lords. So the shogunate government afraid that Japan would be colonized by Western countries after the spread of Christianity. And another reason was that it was adapted to prevent local feudal lords from gaining wealth by trading with the Western countries, countries.
And why was Christianity so bad? Why didn't the Tokugawa shogunate like Christianity?
Because their policy adopted by the Edo government is very contrastive. Contrast to their Christian theory.
Mm-hmm. How?
Okay.
That's what I need to know. Why is Christianity so bad?
Because the shogunate government adopted the strict caste system. The society was divided into four classes, and samurai were at the top of the hierarchy, and they were only for 5% of the population, and the others are the rest.
Okay, and what did Christianity say?
Christians are made up of farmers.
Well, okay. Christianity was bad because Christianity said all people are equal. Yeah. That? Okay. And in Edo society, people were not equal. Everybody had a caste they were born into. Samurai could always be samurai and they were at the top. But Samurai were not equal to merchants who were dirty and handled money. But in Christian society, oh, samurai and merchants and farmers, everybody's equal. God loves everybody the same. And Tokugawa said, no, 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 it doesn't work in our society, so they banned it. Okay? Okay, so that's why I asked, why is Christianity bad? Is because it was, did not work with the Tokugawa caste system. And it was a threat. If everybody was supposed to be equal, then everybody, the farmers who were 80%, might rebel. Because, of course, they had all the, they were the second in rank, but they were the working hardest and poorest, right? So anyway, that's why. So that is, there's three things. Equality did not work in the four class caste system. The threat that if Japan became more Christian, the foreign countries would come and colonize. And the seclusion policy prevented local lords from trading with other countries and becoming rich. So only Tokugawa could control all of the trade and the money. Okay? Okay, so those are the three points for this answer. Good. Okay, we'll go on to question number 9. And this question asks, why did ninja dress in black? Okay.
Ninja were professional spies in the feudal ages, and they conducted their espionage activities.
Okay, spy activities.
Yeah, spy activities, yeah. Their main duties were to secretly enter enemies' territories and to gather information. And sometimes they gloved the enemies through their weapons.
Sometimes they what? Clubbed?
Plundered the enemies' food and weapons.
Oh, okay.
And they obviously did not wear clothes that would make them stand out. So in the 20th century, ninja have been depicted in films and comics. They were very popular characters. So they are usually pictured as dressed in black.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, good. Yeah, they're dressed in black because, you know, maybe in the daytime they wore regular clothes. But at nighttime, so they would not stand out, they wore black clothes. But they probably wore regular clothes normally, most of the time, except when they were doing their spy activities at nighttime. Because wearing black clothes in daytime, you still can be seen, right? So usually the spy activities at nighttime not to stand out. Okay. Good, that's interesting. Yeah, that in the TV and the movies or comics, they're always pictured as wearing black clothes, right? Okay, good. Can you tell me why did ninja dress in black?
Okay, ninja is a spy. Their job is to obtain information from the enemy and also sometimes assassination. They act or they did these things at night, mainly at night, in the enemy's castle and also in the enemy's priest. Premises,
okay.
Premises. So they should not stand out. And dressing in black is very suitable to conduct, to act in stealth.
Okay, to act?
To act in stealth.
Okay, act in stealth. Right. Okay, what other, nowadays, like on the kabuki stage and things, people wear black. Why do they wear black?
It's not a spy. They are not spies. They help the actors, for example, changing the clothes.
Okay, right.
And setting up small tools or props.
Props, okay.
Yeah, small props on the stage. So if they are not dressing in black, it stand out. So that's why they dress in black.
Right, okay, good, right. So yeah, there's kind of a tradition of dressing in black not to stand out or to appear invisible. Right. So on the kabuki stage, and I think, like I said, some of the bundaku puppeteers also might wear black. So there's like this tradition in Japan, where at Western stage, I've never seen people come in black and do things like that. So in Japan, it's like, oh, I'm not supposed to see him. But it's interesting to watch, right? Okay.
Not to see them.
Yeah, you assume not to see, like, oh, don't say what they're there, you know. So you watch them set it up or change their clothes, right? So I think that's kind of maybe something like the ninja wear black clothes because of that. Same thing, not to be stood out, not to look like you're there. Okay. All right, let's go on to question 10. Question 10 asks about what was the Edo period like? And there's lots of things we can say, so please tell me, what was the Edo period like?
Yeah, the Edo period spanned from 1603 to 1867.
Okay.
There were few wars and battles, so the relatively that period was peaceful. Because of that, the new forms of culture were developed, such as kabuki, puppet theater, ukiyo-e, etc. As for politics, the shogun governed Japan. There was a caste system, and also Japan was isolated as a policy from outside the world, from the outside world.
Yeah, that's probably okay. Don't make it too long. Good. I just want to question. You know, a lot of people mentioned that Edo society was very peaceful. Why was it so peaceful?
One reason is that is because of the isolation policy.
Okay.
No invasion by the other countries.
Okay.
And also the farmers occupied 80% of the population. These people had no real military force. No weapons, because they are not allowed. The shogunate was very strict to control them. They not allowed. The farmers have weapons. So that's why
farmers were not allowed.
Will not be allowed.
Uh-huh. The farmers were not allowed.
Were not allowed to hold weapons.
Right. Okay. Right. So basically not just, well, they controlled the peasants who were 80% who could not have weapons, which was also good, but basically society was very strict. It was very rigid.
Yeah.
Everybody lived in their own little class and did what they had to without interfering with other classes or trying to make trouble. Because it was very strict. So society was very strict.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Let's ask you then, same question. What was the Edo period like?
The Edo period was from 17th to the mid-19th century. Tokugawa Ieyasu established the Edo government, and the shogunate government centralized the power and control over the country. And this period has two striking features. One of that is the government.
One is that
Edo government created a balance of power under the strict caste system. Mm-hmm. Society was divided into strict four classes. Samurai were at the top of a hierarchy. And the second one is for the protection from the European countries. The national isolation policy was adopted by the government and Christianity was strictly prohibited. It was a time when prosperity and peace lasted over 250 years.
And what happened during that 250 years? Anything special? Kabuki. etc., right?
Yeah. There are many Japanese traditional cultures were developed during the Edo period. For example, Kabuki and Bunraku, and also no performances mm-hmm. were highly developed. And also the Sankin Kotai, the system and alternate attendant system developed their local economies mm. and cultures and regional cultures.
Mm. Okay, good. Right. So, you know, again, during this time there was the peace and isolation, so Japanese culture developed uniquely. Right? And I guess, you know, I always say Japan lived in a bubble. There was no influence from the outside world, basically. Mm. So it's the culture, especially like kabuki and bundaku, ukiyo-e, things like this, were able to develop without any influence from the outside world. Mm. And plus, because society was so strict, Japan was able also to live in peace. So everybody kind of, it must have been hard life, but enjoyed themselves in this, you know, society that did not have a lot of problems for like wars and things. Mm. Okay, good. So, actually, in one sense, I would say Japan was lucky. You know, because they said they closed the country, but if the foreign powers wanted to come, they would have come. Right? Because they eventually did come in 1853, right? But until that time, they said, no, Japan is a closed country, don't go. So then they didn't go. They bothered China and Southeast Asia. But they really didn't come. Because if they really wanted to, I'm sure they would have come. Mm. So Japan was kind of lucky they were able to.
It was really successful.
Yeah, they were lucky they could keep them away. Okay. Good. All right, those are good answers. So again, just kind of, there's lots of things you could talk about the Edo period. So I think that's fine. Okay, the next question we have is, have there been any female rulers in Japanese history?
There were 8 empresses recorded in Japanese history. Basically, the Japanese imperial succession is based on a hereditary system through the paternal line. However, there have been any cases where...
There have been some cases in which
women have succeeded to the throne when no male heirs existed.
Okay, good.
And at the present law, women are not allowed to succeed to the throne. And in the political term, no female prime minister has been inaugurated so far. Personally, it would be very nice if we have our female leaders in the future.
Okay, good. You can try. Okay, good. Have there been any female rulers in Japanese history?
Yes, 8 women ascended to the throne in. Mainly in Nara area, which
in, in in
Nara in the Nara period.
Okay.
Which was in the 8th century. Among them, only one empress called Shotoku had a real power.
Shotoku?
Shotoku Empress. Shotoku okay. Empress.
Okay.
Had a real power. And the others had no real power. It was just temporal. Temporary one.
Is it Emperor Shotoku? Prince Shotoku, Empress Suiko? No, well, there was a Shotoku Empress.
Shotoku, yeah. Shotoku,
okay.
She succeeded to the throne 745 something.
Okay.
Shotoku Prince, it was 100 years ago.
Before?
Before.
Oh, okay, because I know the Empress Suiko, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
At that time, yeah, Suiko was the empress.
Okay, I didn't know there was Empress Shotoku. Okay.
Okay. Shotoku. Or Koken, it's the same person.
Oh, okay.
So, after that, there were three shogunate period, but no female shogun appeared. And since Meiji era, Meiji period, big Meiji period, to now, no female prime minister.
Right. Okay, good. All right, one thing. Either way is okay, the Nara era or the Nara period, although it's easier to hear period. It's a much period. Clearer okay. than, okay. say, Nara era, because sometimes I hear Nara area.
Yeah.
Okay.
I say, yeah, sometimes Nara area.
Yeah, so Nara period, Meiji period
is better.
Yeah. Right, it sounds better. Edo period, it sounds just easier to understand. It's probably more common. Era is used more for written language.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, good. You know, really sorry, I kind of got confused with your answer. When I heard Shotoku, I was like, ooh. Can I have you, you know, there's, just let me have you say that again. Can you say that again? Have there ever been any female rulers in Japanese history?
Yes. 8 women ascended to the throne mainly in the Nara period.
Okay.
Empress called Shotoku. Had a real power, while the other 7 had no real power. They were just temporal. After that, there were 3 shogunate period, but there was no female shogun. And also, after since the Meiji period to now, there was no female prime. There has been no female prime minister.
Right. Okay. Good. Who was the last empress?
The last empress? I forgot the name. She was. She ascended to the throne 1750, something like that. Yeah, I forgot the name.
Go-Sakuramachi?
Sakuramachi?
Go-Sakuramachi.
Go-Sakuramachi.
Yeah, it was the last one, I think from 1750 to around 1750 to around 1770, so about 20 years. She was the last empress. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. One thing interesting about this empress or female emperor or something, they have, sometimes you'll come across this female emperor. And I go, why do they say female emperor? It's kind of confusing and the way the languages work. Because in Japanese, if it's female or male, you still say tenno.
Mm-hmm.
Where in English, there's an empress and emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you say that in Japanese, say, no, empress means the emperor's wife. So there's confusion a lot of times. But female emperor sounds funny.
Yeah.
basically. So empress is probably better.
Okay. So empress means two meanings.
Yeah.
One is the wife, and the other is real tenmo.
Yeah. But usually we would not say male empress, like saying, oh, male queen. You don't say male queen, right? Or female king, you don't say that, right, in English. It's king and queen is hakiri, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we don't say male queen, you know, or male or female king. We don't say that. So just use empress.
Empress.
Yeah, even though the Japanese language does not change between male and female tenno.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Good. All right, that's good. One more question today, and then maybe we'll review some of the questions we had today, is why is Edo Castle called the Imperial Palace now? And to me, this is just, you know, I laugh at the question. I shouldn't laugh because it's a good question, but it's just so simple.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, you want to try? Why is it Edo Castle called the Imperial Palace?
Because now, in the place, the emperor lives. That's the question, and that's the answer. generally speaking, the place where the feudal lords or daimyo or shogun live is called castle.
Right.
And the place where the tenno or the emperor lives is called Paris. So that's why the present one is called Imperial Palace.
Right, because the emperor lives there now instead of the shogun, right? Yeah. So in the Meiji period, Emperor Meiji came from Kyoto.
Yeah.
He lived there, and so they can't call it Edo Castle, so they call it Imperial Palace.
Yes.
Okay. Good. It's just a very, it should be a very simple, easy answer. Okay. Tell me, why is Edo Castle now called the Imperial Palace?
That is because it has been the residence for Imperial families since 1868, when the Tokugawa Shogunate came to end. And the
Came to end. Came to an end. Yeah.
Came to an end. And the emperor moved from Kyoto. The name was changed in order to eliminate Tokugawa's influence and make a new start.
Yeah, okay. So came to an end. End becomes a noun. So like came to a finish. Is that easier for you? Okay, so when the Meiji period came to a finish. When the Meiji period came to an end. When the Meiji period ended is okay. But came to end, it's probably correct maybe grammatically, but it sounds a little strange when I hear that. When the Meiji period came to end. I don't know why. We would make end a noun, so came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Why did the name Edo change to Tokyo?
Edo is the former name of Tokyo, and was the seat of Tokugawa military government. Was the seat of the Tokugawa military government for over two centuries, and this government and the shogunate came to a finish in 1868. So the name was changed from Edo to Tokyo.
Why?
Because they want to eliminate Tokugawa's influence.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make a start, new start.
Okay, and what does Tokyo mean? Anything?
Tokyo means, literally means eastern capital.
Mm-hmm.
And after the shogunate ended, the emperor moved from Kyoto, the former capital of Japan.
Mm-hmm. And Tokyo is east of Kyoto.
East of Kyoto, literally, in fact.
Okay. East of Kyoto, Eastern capital. Right. So because Tokyo is east of Kyoto, that's why they made the name Tokyo, right? Okay. Let me ask you one more time. Why did Japan cut off its relations with the outside world? Let me just, in for 200 years. What is Sakoku?
Sakoku.
There's another question. What is Sakoku?
Sakoku is isolation policy from outside countries.
Mm-hmm.
You said why?
I shouldn't confuse you, but the question 8 today is why did Japan cut off relations with the outside world for 200 years. There's also just the basic question, what is Sakoku?
What is Sakoku?
The answer is probably going to be the same.
Okay.
Because you need to say why. In what is Sakoku? It's isolation policy. But that's not a good answer, right? It's just the start of your answer.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So, I'll just ask you, what is Sakoku?
What is Sakoku? Mm. Okay. The Sakoku is, literary meaning is isolation of Japan from outside countries. This policy was carried out during the Edo period, about 240 years. The reason why is that the shogunate of Tokugawa shogunate was very afraid of Christianity. Because the Christians were very strong, strong-minded, so if they resist the shogunate, they knew it should be a very fierce battle. So they avoided that kind of things by the Sakoku. And also they wanted, the shogunate wanted to monopolize the profit from the trading with some other countries. Another thing is if Japan was opened during that time, they might be colonized. Japan might be colonized by other countries. Mm. That is why they made Sakoku.
Right. Okay. Right. And then again, because I like the idea that Christianity believes people are equal, love and equality, and that was not love and equality was not part of Edo society, which was based on a strict caste system. Yes. Good. All right. Can you tell me, Pastor Herr, could you tell me how was Japan modernized after the Meiji Restoration?
After Meiji Restoration, Japan was rapidly industrialized and modernized. The new government imported many Western cultures, such as many cultures and systems. For example, new banking system and new Western style educational system, they made a centralized army, and also the new government set up their infrastructures to build many federal concrete buildings and set up their transportation bridges and also a communication system, for example, a telegraph was spread out the country.
Okay, right. Spread throughout the country.
Spread through the countries.
Spread
throughout
the country.
The country.
Good. Yeah, you got that? Okay, good. Maybe one more question. Can you tell me who is the most important person in Japanese history to you?
You mean Japanese?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think, in my opinion, 大久保利通 was the most important person in Japan. He led the Meiji Restoration about 140 years ago. He was a very powerful leader. So there are many persons who led the Meiji Restoration. Among them, the 大久保利通 was his opinion was very clear, and he was very aggressive, and he could what he said was very very persuasive to persuade other people. So that's why the Meiji Restoration was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, 大久保利通was the most important person in Japanese history.
Okay, good. Can you tell me what is your favorite period in Japanese history? What is your favorite period of Japanese history?
Personally, I love the period of the Edo, the later period, the end of the Edo period.
Okay, the latter part of the later part
later
of the Edo.
Later part of the Edo period.
Okay.
Because the Edo period, it was a very peace and it was a time when peace and prosperity lasted over two centuries. But the strict caste system adopted by the Edo government was gradually not adapted to the society.
Okay, it was great. Yeah. Okay.
And what I have one of the persons who living in the end of the Edo period. It was Sakamoto Ryoma, mm-hmm. and he was one of the leaders of foundation of modern ages. And he is our leaders of the movement of by overthrowing the Tokugawa shogunate, and he was our key person of the bloodless revolution. Yeah, it was transformed the feudal government to a new unified nation.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he was assassinated at the age of 33. But he is still one of the best loved figures in Japanese history.
Okay. What happened to Momoyama?
Oh, Aizuchi
Momoyama. I thought you had that. I thought I was ready to you to say that. All of a sudden you changed. But be careful. Okay, Aizuchi Momoyama. I thought you were going to say that again. Yes, what you chose last week or the week before. Okay. Be careful. That was good. Maybe a little bit more about the Edo period rather than Sakuma Ryo. What's his name?
Sakamoto
Ryoma. Mm-hmm. More than him. Tell about the Edo period maybe. So then you can say one of the most influential people in Japanese history was from that period. It was Sakamoto Ryoma, who was influential in getting things started to make a bloodless revolution. Okay? I might ask you that again in the next few weeks. So prepare what you want to say. Okay? All right. It was like, oh, she changed. Okay. There's nothing wrong with changes. Make sure what you say is good. Okay? That's fine. All right, I think we finished today. We have no more history. Next week is more like government politics type of questions. So that will be interesting also. Okay, so again, I thank you for coming and study hard for next week, and we'll see you then. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.